You all may be seated. And let's pray this morning as we open God's Word. Jesus, living Word, we pray that you would use these words, Lord, to you. Change us, Lord, to draw us closer to you, to remind us who you are. So we pray that you would do a work in us and through us for your glory. And we do pray, come Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, everybody. While I was away, I came to learn that there is a great travesty that's happening really all over the world outside of America. We've had a lot of internationals come over for the World Cup and come to find out that it sounds like most of the world does not have ranch dressing. And even a greater injustice, TSA is confiscating all the ranch that they're trying to bring back and enjoy in their own countries. And so you're probably hoping that finally the world would gather as one under one banner known as ranch dressing, but that has been dashed, all of our hopes. That has nothing to do with anything I'm going to talk about this morning. Well, it is good to see you all. It's good to be back. Let me ask you all as we begin, are you restless? I'm going to say probably yes. What do you believe you need in order to satiate and satisfy your restlessness? I want to give us three cultural components and what I believe to be pressures this morning. If you haven't heard, let me go ahead and tell you. You don't have what you need to be truly happy because you're living from a constant deficit. You're always just a step behind. Your clothes are outdated. Wherever you live, whatever your dwelling is, it's probably too small. You could use better fixtures, certainly some updating. Your car, it's obsolete and it's depreciating by the second. You might be too young and you're immature. Or you're too old. Or you just look too old. Furthermore, this is worse, you kind of look out of proper proportion. Should you be thinner? Probably. Stronger? Yes. More muscular? Certainly. You're not healthy enough. You're not organic enough. You don't eat right. You need an eating plan. If you're not counting your calories, you should probably start. You're unintentionally ingesting far too many toxins, and you definitely need more supplements. We are in a day and age where we have a thing called looks maxing, spelled with two X's, which particularly targets young men. And under this, you have what's called soft maxing, defined as non-surgical improvements like makeup, skincare, weight management, hair care, wardrobe curation, etc. And you have hard maxing, permanent cosmetic procedures, surgeries, or orthodontics. For females, it's glow maxing, beauty maxing, or leveling up, as you probably already know. Furthermore, really? Bad news for you. Everyone else is having a good time. Everyone else is enjoying themselves. And everyone is currently at a party that you were not invited to. To where they're drinking the most delicious low-calorie beverage as they maintain their perfect abs. Everyone else is having a conversation about things you know nothing about, like contemporary art, or fine wine, or obscure jazz. No one's talking about that. Because they are cultured and they are intelligent, and you are not, at least not like them. Maybe the next book that you read will get you in the know. Whatever you have, whoever you are, it's not enough, says the capitalistic consumer machine. Do you believe what it is telling all of us? I think, to varying extents, we do. Are you restless? The good news. You're free. Free to be happy any way that you want. To pursue work and leisure at your leisure. Yesterday was the 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. We celebrate our independence. Actually, our independence to pursue what? Happiness. It is our declaration, and this is a good thing. Among our unalienable rights, these are life, liberty, and again, the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, reads the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. However, number two, another powerful shaping stream in the American success, or is the American success or achievement ethos. What do you mean? I've been told, and I believe you probably have as well, this was literally actually in my middle school gymnasium with my fellow classmates, that I can do anything. I can be whoever I want to be. I can become whatever my mind can concoct through grit, determination, and hard work. Just look to astronauts, baseball players, artists, inventors, builders, and businessmen and women. Or, in our modern times, look to the Capital One guy. Some of you will get that, some of you will not. Success, this is the American story. It is the American dream. And our technology or technological achievements is evidence of our unlimited potential. Are we ever done achieving? Do you believe this voice that says any limits are just barriers to your self-actualization and your personal success? Again, rely on your own grit and get it done. Happiness is found in achievements. The horizon is something to be defeated. Are you restless? One more. I brought this up a couple of times, probably throughout the last couple of years. You are invited to say the heck with trying to keep up with it all. I will build my kingdom, and the gates of a frenetic life will not prevail against it. As king or queen of my castle, I have pronounced an absolute commitment to consolation by way of cozy comforts. I have my blankets, candles, pillows, yes, my journal, a little book of poetry or a novel, perhaps. My hot coffee or tea. Light instrumental music, folk music or lo-fi in the background, almost imperceptible. My multicolored writing utensils. A little tasty treat on standby. Perhaps some chocolates. And of course, my journaling Bible. Before engaging in my cozy self-constructed cave, let me take a quick picture to let the world know just how cozy I'm about to be. Hey friends, I'm about to enter into cozy nirvana. Wish you could be here. but you're probably out there getting burned out in the rat race. We're always on the hunt for the ideal aesthetic. Are you restless? Our three categories, but I sum them up this way: acquiring, achieving, and amelioration, that is betterment through amenity or amenities, that's comfort. I heard you mention colored writing utensils, so you're saying we shouldn't have colored pencils? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, they always get brittle. You can never sharpen them evenly. They're real pain. Hear this, you all. I really believe that these, might we call them domains, are areas in which we are vulnerable to forget God and fail to remain in God. Here is a part of the goal this morning. Untak David Shin writes this, quote, "Wisdom calls us to discern the restful life from the restless." And guess who is wisdom? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God." It's ironic that we are in this passage as I come back off sabbatical. This is Matthew chapter 11, is our gospel reading. And I'd like to stand here and say, yes, my resting leads to restfulness. I don't struggle with any of the things I just mentioned. I know how to rest well. I don't. But I come with you to hear Jesus' voice and try to discern biblically how we can live a life that is more restful than restless. As disciples of Jesus, as he calls us to come and rest and remain, feel refreshed and live in him. Do we take him up on this invitation? Or are we wandering around attempting to gather scraps of rest that leave us far from sated? In the prayer book, this is a prayer that's a part of the daily evening prayer. And it's entitled the Prayer, the Collect for Peace. It can be found on page 49. You don't have to turn there. But let me read it to you. And I'll pray it at the end of the message. O God, the source of all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass the time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. According to this prayer, my rest lies in relying on Christ as the source, him defending me from fear and living in conformity with Christ and his good ways as he is fitting me and us for new creation, as he is fitting us to enter into our ultimate rest. But do we resist? And are we committed to weeding out the roots of restlessness that have or are always attempting to take root in our lives? Three verses this morning. And yes, I have preached on them before. This verse is part of what is called the comfortable words that is after our weekly confession. And it's Matthew 11, 28. You can turn there if you'd like, but you don't have to. I think these verses are familiar to all of us. So let me issue the invitation of Jesus. He says, "Come to me." And he addresses a certain group of individuals. He classifies them. Number one, if we look at the word, it's those who work hard. Those who, well, labor. Those who are weary, and those who are tired from strain. Second, those who are burdened. It includes both the idea of a passive state of being weary from labor and the activity of hard labor. And third, those who are just weary of soul. Those that are tired of. Jesus asks us, what are you tired from? What are you tired of? That's rhetorical. Please don't answer that right now. And Jesus says he will. The verb is to cause, to rest, to soothe, or refresh. Come here, Jesus is saying. Take rest. Take repose. Take refreshment in me. The verse could be read, come to me and I will rest you. Or come to me and I'll refresh you. And we notice that this is Jesus' work. This is something Jesus does, not something that we have to do other than just come. You are invited into a relational space where you can hopefully experience refreshment. Jeremiah 31:25 reads thusly, "For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish." Do you believe that as you come to him? So what is the answer to our weariness according to Jesus in Matthew 11? This is verse 29. It's a yoke. That's interesting. A picture of unwanted restriction. As you know, a yoke, a harness used on an animal so that they could pull a plow or a cart. And this is a picture of rest. Jesus' yoke is one of discipleship. It's one of learning from him, as the next verse will state, or part of verse 29 states. But ironically, this yoke brings us not to weariness, but it brings us to rest, of our souls. And a rest that is rooted in the person. The person whose yoke we are under, again, that is Jesus. As he invites us into this relational space. What is this person and what is this space like? Historian and social philosopher Eugene Rosenstock Huessy writes this, quote, "The greatest temptation of our time is impatience." Do you agree? In its full original meaning, refusal to wait, undergo, or suffer, we seem unwilling to pay the price of living with our fellows in creative and profound relationships. Do we feel this way towards Jesus? And do we feel that Jesus feels this way with us? Impatient. Because this is not the case with Jesus toward you. We say things like, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Is now a good time? Is this a good time? I don't want to waste your time. Let me just say something real quick. Jesus is not impatient. He is loving. And love doesn't rush. Paul tells us that first love is what? Patient. And I do think it's all too easy to project onto Jesus our cultural predispositions and assumptions. We have an impatient culture leading to a view of an impatient Jesus. We have a culture, again, that values perhaps above all else efficiency, productivity, quantities, and ambition, as opposed to the values of the kingdom, grace and peace, love, gentleness, kindness, and so forth, or the economy that we find within the Trinity itself. Jesus is not impatient. We read that Jesus is gentle. He's humble and he's lowly of heart. Under other yokes, even our inner voice and those around us, it can be pejorative and harsh. Learning from Jesus, learning from you, Jesus, is easy. Because, how is this the case? It's because he's so patient with us. You will not find undue harshness with Jesus. Because again, he's lowly and he's humble. He invites us in his humility and meekness. He's so very kind. Furthermore, yokes are put on animals to make furrows or straight lines, a trench in the dirt. Jesus asks us to take this yoke because he wants us to walk in a particular way, his way, that is in concert and concord with God's purposes and God's kingdom. This gives a meaning and a goal to all of our human endeavors, or in the language of Ecclesiastes, all of our toil under the sun. Again, Jesus echoes Jeremiah. This is chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find what? Rest for your souls. But what did they say? But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to sound the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Let us not be so distracted by our own busyness and perhaps personal agendas that we miss the gift of the good way. Walking in the good way of rest, like everything else, is something to be cultivated. The gift of Sabbath, like all gifts, requires disciplines of receiving that help us open both our hands and our hearts to God's good gifts. Do you believe that the fundamental orientation of the Christian life is one of receiving? I'm not going to unpack that. I'm just going to ask if you believe it. Do you believe that the fundamental orientation of the Christian life is one of receiving? Well, this kicks hard against my control. My value for security, my desire for honor and respect. Not that Jesus is my portion within limits and he gives me my daily bread. I need to go out and earn it. For my yoke is easy, verse 30. This adjective in the Greek means to furnish what is suitable, useful, or properly furnished. It's something well fitted, well resourced. It's beneficial and benevolent. This yoke is both kind, good, and suitable. Christians who are bound, yoked to Him, He has infinite resources, and He's always available and accessible to rest you. As John 5:20 says, you are in Him who is true. In closing, our Romans reading, Paul tells us, in Christ we are not condemned. That's good news. And the good news of the easy yoke is this. You don't have to justify yourself before God. You don't have to spend your entire life trying to be enough, trying to please everyone, trying to be competent enough, ambitious enough, productive enough, efficient and sufficient enough, cozy and comfortable enough, striving to be somebody who is acceptable. This is exhausting. This is a crushing yoke. Jesus, in His tenderness and lowliness, again in His kindness, invites you to come. He offers you a gift to come live in His way. Live in His life. Learn from Him. Be His disciple. Walk in concert with the rhythms of His goodness and His grace. Take on this kind of yoke. His yoke, where He justifies you. And you don't have to try and do the impossible. Justify yourself. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the source of all holy desires, all good counsels, all just works, give to these your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey you, may be set on your good ways and your commandments, and that we, being defended from fear, from the fear of our enemies, may pass the time in rest and quietness. Teach us this way, Lord, a restful life in you. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we all said, Amen.